This is Real Life with Lisa Jesswein on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Lisa Jesswein.
Oh boy, we got a treat today. Mostly because I just really want to pick his brain about what's it like to be him. We have a New York celebrity psychic medium, author, and life coach, Thomas John. Hey, Thomas, how are you?
Hey, Lisa, nice to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. One of the ways that everybody can get a hold of you is mediumthomas.com, right? That's your website?
Yes, it is. Yep.
And it's a very cool website, everybody. You should check this out because he talks about his readings. There's a shop, a blog, events coming up where you can meet with him. And so take a look. Make sure you go to mediumthomas.com. Now, Thomas, what was it like being a little boy in Boston growing up? What age did you first sort of sense spirit?
I don't really have a memory of sort of not seeing the spirit world. You know, I always remember that as being part of my life and something that I would do. It wasn't obviously my profession when I was a little kid, but I always remember that being part of my life.
Okay, so give us an example. When you say, I remember it being part of my life, I mean, did you sense someone standing next to you while you were brushing your teeth or walking to school? What was that like?
Well, when I was a little boy, like about 4 or 5 years old, you know, my earliest childhood memories were I would see, deceased people and stuff. Of course, when you're a kid, it's hard because, you know, you don't have a lot of perspective about things. And so you don't understand if something is different or if something is similar or if something is, you know, you just don't have a concept of that. You think that kind of everybody has the same, you know, background, you know, everybody's going through the same situation.
Mm-hmm. And how did your parents react when you actually told them, hey, I see someone standing there or whatever?
I didn't really come out and tell them. I mean, I think they certainly suspected something when I was a kid, and they would talk, you know, they would ask me different questions and stuff, but they really didn't know, you know, I don't think they really knew the whole dynamic. They didn't really know exactly what was going on and what I was seeing and what was going on. But as I got older, I became more open about things and, certainly wasn't something they didn't really have a lot of experience in, but they were pretty accepting.
Okay. And the reason I'm asking a little bit about this is because I've had a few, parents who say, you know, my kid has seen this or is talking to, you know, so-and-so in the corner who isn't there. And I want you to tell them as the, you know, a child who grew up like that, what worked for you, what was good that your parents did, what you wish they would have done differently.
I would say as far as that, I can't say they did anything really wrong because they were very accepting of everything. They were a little bit more reactive, in terms of, you know, bringing me to talk to, you know, different therapists or counselors, only because they were scared. And they thought, you know, something was wrong and stuff. So, I would say, you know, in this day and age, there's so many resources besides sort of, you know, being fear-based and kind of going, you know, right, you know, kind of jumping into, a decision like, oh, I'm going to take my kid to a therapist or a hospital if there's something wrong with him. And I think we're a lot less fear-based about it. I mean, you have to remember this was 20 years ago, so it wasn't when, people were on TV, it wasn't as popular, there was no Teresa Caputo and mm-hmm. John Edward, you know, so it was a little bit of a different environment.
And who was the most influential as far as, you know, someone that you saw or a book that you read and you thought, oh my gosh, I really want to do this for my living?
That came definitely later in life, you know, because I went to college and stuff and definitely at that point still had an awareness of what was going on and, you know, had an understanding of what was going on. But I didn't really know that there was a collective out there. I mean, the equivalent that I give it is kind of like being gay, which, you know, I mean, I'm openly gay. Mm-hmm. It's the equivalent thing. I mean, you might know that you have different feelings about things or stuff like that, but then you don't know that maybe there's other people that have, I mean, you know, so it's sort of that type of thing. I mean, I knew, okay, you know, I have these abilities or I see things. As I got older, you know, of course, you start to realize you're a little bit different. I mean, when you're a little kid, you don't realize that as much. I mean, I had a next door neighbor, for example. You know, he used to come over, you know, he's like my best friend, and his mom, she used to like to put plastic on all the furniture in the house so it didn't get destroyed or hurt or, uh-huh. you know, or whatever. And, you know, when he came over to my house once, I remember him saying, he was probably 7 or 8, he was like, you know, you don't have plastic on your furniture. Where's your plastic? And I was like, oh, you know, we don't do that here. And so it's like that type of thing. I mean, when you're a little kid, you don't realize that your world is not really the same world that everybody else, you know, your world is not the same as everybody else, even though you're in the same world, you know, that's mm-hmm. kind of a thing you realize when you get a little bit older. And so then I think probably 13, 14, I started to realize, you know, I have this, and not everybody sees dead people, and not everybody has flashes of things before they happen. It was just kind of my operating system when I was a kid. And then as I got older, I realized, okay, there's actually people that go and do this as a living and stuff like that. So, you know, when people ask me, when did you know you were a psychic? Well, my answer to that is, you know, probably when I was 22 or something, and I finally realized, when did I first have my, you know, first experience? I mean, I'd have to say, I don't know, because I my earliest memories are of that, you know?
Right. And do you remember the first time you actually read for someone?
I mean, I started doing readings in sort of increments, you know, I mean, I started playing around with tarot cards when I was a little, when I was about 16 or 17 years old. And mm-hmm. then I started doing, you know, I started, you know, I started giving kind of, you know, just kind of fun readings. And then people started telling me, oh, you know, some of the things that you say have actually happened. And then I started, you know, realizing that I could connect with the deceased people and that they would actually give messages or say things. Probably about 16 or 17, I gave my first kind of like reading, you know?
Yeah. And when you go ahead and you're sitting down with someone and you're doing reading and you're connecting, do you connect through your own guides or relatives, or do you speak directly to whoever is showing up?
You know, it really depends on a host of things. It depends why someone's coming to me. It depends, you know, what sort of information people are looking for. It depends what people want to know about, what people are comfortable with. Some people don't want to hear from dead people. So it depends on about, you know, a bunch of different levels.
Mm-hmm. And when did this sort of morph into, you know, you going to New York and becoming this celebrity? Because, I mean, you have read some well-known celebrities. But when did that morph into what it is today? How did that happen?
You know, I think probably when I moved to New York, I mean, I started to, you know, I started to do spiritual type of work and take different classes, and I started going to different lectures and workshops, and, you know, when the Hay House authors would come to town, I would go and see them and sort of just kind of absorb what was out there. But I still had my full-time job working in research at one of the hospitals in Connecticut. And then, you know, just kind of kept on that path. And then it's one of those things, like probably any sort of, you know, business owner, where, you know, you start to realize, like, you know, you have to make a choice at some point. And so I made the choice that, you know, I had to dedicate myself to my work. I mean, and I couldn't have a full-time job. And then the celebrities, you know, I mean, that just sort of happens naturally. I mean, I spend a lot of time in Los Angeles. I spend a lot of time in New York. Both places have celebrities in them. So, I mean, you know, I'm not sure. Maybe if I lived in Montana, I wouldn't have as many celebrities. I'd probably have, you know, more types of people that are, you know, there's not just, I think it's just probably because, you know, I'm in a place where there is a lot of celebrities, so they are part of my, you know, my world a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And you brought something up about, you know, where you said, you know, you went and saw some Hay House authors, or you know, read books or saw lectures or whatever, because there's a lot of people out there that really would like to have a deeper connection with spirit,
right,
with those around them. So I think that's really important. Is it is like a smorgasbord. You got to try a little bit of everything to figure out what makes you feel better, which may also include getting a reading. That's all part of it. So what else, is there anything else that you can tell, let's just call them the layperson, because I do believe we all have this to some extent or another, to help them feel more connected?
You know, I think it depends, you know, what your definition is. I mean, if people are trying to, you know, they want to be more connected, or they want to be more aware, or they have a belief system that, yeah, there's something out there and they'd like to know more about it. I mean, you know, I think you have to be definitely in an information gathering stage at first. And then you sort of learn what, you know, what your special. I think we all come into the world with a gift. And it's kind of about finding your gift is a big part of this journey, right? So, you know, whatever form that may take, we all have different types of gifts and stuff. Mm-hmm. So what I think is that over time, you know, you become aware of, yeah, like what, you know, what, like I said, what your gift is and stuff. You know, if you want to do personal, you know, readings for people, that's obviously a whole different level. And that requires a whole level of commitment. It requires a whole level of awareness. It requires a whole, you know, because you're giving information to people about their lives and stuff. So that's a whole other thing. And that's a big responsibility and stuff. So I don't know if that's not maybe for everybody, you know?
Right. Cause it also takes you, you know, putting your ego on the back shelf. And it can be quite, you know, exciting if you get something right, but that's not the reason that you need to do readings. Now, connecting with spirit and feeling closer to loved ones, that's a completely different thing. You can look, mediumthomas.com is where you can find a whole bunch of information about Thomas John. He's got blogs there, and you even do events. You got something coming up in November, right?
I have a few different events coming up. I mean, I should have wrote my calendar down, but I know it's kind of off the top of my head. The first weekend in October, I'm actually going to be in Philadelphia at the Mind Body Spirit Expo, and people can come and visit me at my booth. And then the Friday of that weekend, I'm having an event at the Mind Body Spirit Expo, and that's in Philadelphia. And then October 18th, I'm in Boca Raton, Florida. Mm-hmm. And then I have several events coming up in the New York City area. November 15th, I'll be in Providence, Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. And these are all different events where you can buy tickets right on my website, which is, as you said, it's mediumthomas.com.
Yeah, you must have a lot of frequent flyer miles.
I do.
Because
you know, it's funny, actually. I just got into that this year, like about, actually, I took a trip to Australia to see a friend. Uh-huh. And you know, my assistant and I was like, you know, I said we should really look into frequent flyers, because this is getting a little out of control.
I can't believe you didn't do it up until then. It sounds like you go all over the place. Well, at least sooner or later, you're going to end up with a free ticket somewhere, Thomas. So that's great. And let's talk a little bit about, because someone may say to you, oh, you must know everything that's going to happen. You know, if you go out on dates, you must know everything about that person. So what's
right.
It like, you know, even having friends or dating when this is, you know, your career?
Right. You know, I think it's a catch-22, you know. In one hand, I am more aware of things. That is just part of what I do. You know, that's like, I'm sure a dentist, you know, you go on a date with a dentist and the first thing they're going to notice is probably your teeth, because that's how they work. But they, you know, they also, I have friends that are dentists that are like, you know, I don't, because I'm not working, so I'm not in work mode. So, yeah, I mean, you definitely do have, I think it's hard to see things for yourself because you are so emotionally attached, and that's why it's hard to read for friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just hard. But I would say that, you know, you certainly can, you know, see things for yourself because you're more aware. And I certainly have had senses about things in my own life before they happened.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, putting it this way, as far as like when you go out and hang out with friends or you're going out on a date, if someone is an accountant, I'm not going to hand them my checkbook and say, balance this. Or if someone's a singer, I'm not going to say, could you sing for me while we sit here and have a
right.
drink? I mean, right. That's kind of what it's like. Like you said, work mode.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you'd be surprised though that some people, you know, don't get that. But yeah, you're you're totally right.
Yeah, because you must perform for me, Thomas John. Snap, snap. Hurry up. Predict things for me. Yeah, come on, people. Think about it a little bit. You know, you wouldn't want someone coming up to you asking you to do your job. And I understand, you know, with Thomas being in, you know, in the media and in the spotlight, people just probably don't really understand, you know, all of it. Now, speaking of predictions, that is something you do. Where do you go in your own, you know, head to find predictions? And do you have any for next year?
You're asking, how do I do the predictions?
Yeah, how do you do the predictions?
You know, as far as global predictions, I mean, a few years ago, I started to realize that if I tune in a certain way, you know, I could get information more at a global level. And so I asked to be shown that, because what I felt was that, you know, my ability wasn't really helping everybody, because, you know, unless you get a personal reading, which everybody can't afford, or maybe everybody doesn't want one or something, you know, I wanted to do things to kind of make people more aware of things and to bring a higher level of consciousness to the world about things that are going to be happening, really to prepare and hopefully, you know, forewarn people in certain situations. So I started doing that a few years ago, and, you know, lo and behold, a lot of things that I saw, I was kind of a little bit, you know, unsure at first, but a lot of the things that I saw and felt for people, you know, at a global level did start to happen. And so, I've basically been doing that for the last few years.
Can you tell me anything, a few things that, you know, that we would understand or recognize as something that you saw ahead of time?
Well, I mean, as far as things that have happened in the last year, I mean, all my predictions are on my website, so you can go and see them. But, I mean, I have had a lot of predictions that have come true. I said, you know, I said Whitney Houston was going to pass away, you know, 2 years ago, she passed away. You know, just on the celebrity level, I said that Tom and Katie Holmes were going to separate. That happened. I predicted... actually a lot of the stuff that's going on right now with Lindsay Lohan about her kind of having this second coming and getting her life a little bit more in order and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I predicted actually the recent breakup with Clooney. So there's a lot of predictions that I made just at a kind of a celebrity level that have definitely come true. Global level, I predicted a lot of the weather patterns that have come out, you know, specific months and stuff like that. I predicted the storm that, that hit in New York, you know, the hurricane last November, October, whatever that was. I predicted that there was going to be a bombing attack in a large city with a few deaths surrounding some sort of national holiday. What would ended up being, you know, Patriots Day in Boston
with,
you know, and I had the month of April. I would say, you know, pretty much, you know, I mean, obviously, I mean, you make 100 predictions, they all don't pan out 100% as you see.
Right.
And that's the nature of prophecy, is that it's, you know, it's not meant to be, you know, you got this, you didn't get this, you know, oh, you got that type of thing. It's more to help people and enhance people's lives. And, you know, certainly there's a level of interpretation. I'm not going to tell you that there's not.
Uh-huh. And when you sit down and you do your predictions, is this something where you just sit and meditate and they come to you, or is it a, you know?
Yeah, I do them. And it's a whole process I go through. It's very deep. It's a little bit different than when I do a reading, because I'm connecting with the whole, you know, consciousness of the world and, you know, the big thought leaders of the world. And so I'm, you know, I try to even connect meditating on the media about what types of emotions and feelings and things that they'll be covering and stuff. So it's a whole drawn out process, and I go over things for, you know, about a month. I just started it in the beginning of December, and then I usually release them towards the end. And I've had a lot of success with those, and you, mm-hmm. you know, you can see all the different press releases about that on my site.
Yeah. Do you ever get bored with what you do?
Not really. I mean, I'm really blessed in that way, because, I mean, I can't think of a job I'd rather do. I mean, I'm able to help people. I'm able to enhance their lives. And I always tell people, you know, every person is different. So, you know, I think I'm gonna get a T-shirt made that says, you know, I freaking love dead people or something.
I will buy one of those if you put it on your website.
Okay. Yeah. So it's just one of those things that I can't say I do. I mean, you know, it's like any job. I mean, you know, sometimes there's hard days and stuff, but, you know, I love to write, and that's a big part of my job too, with my blogs and my, you know, predictions, and I'm working on a book. I love to just meet people. I mean, you know, it's a great way to just, I'm able to travel. So, yeah, I mean, I can't say, I mean, it is a burden sometimes to, you know, feel and see so much, because, you know, that comes with seeing the underbelly of things too. But I can't say I get bored.
Can you ever tell them, hey, this is the boundary, not today, don't talk to me?
Yes, of course. I mean, I take days off and times off. And actually, the people that are past, the spirits and the deceased people and the spirit guides and the angels, I mean, they have an awareness of all that. And they know when to do certain, you know, they know when to visit me. It's more the living people that have issues with boundaries, not really the dead people.
Oh, truer words have not been spoken, Thomas. We are now to the point of our show where we call the RL3, just three silly little questions that we want to ask you, and we appreciate you playing along with this. Here is your first question, Thomas. What event, past, present, or future, would you like to witness in person?
What I like to witness in person?
Yep. What event, past, present, or future?
I would have to say, you know, I would have to say the creation of mankind.
Oh, I did not see that one coming. You went big. You're like, I'm going to sit right over here on this rock and I'm going to watch mankind being created. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Didn't expect that one. Love it. Love it. All right. Here's your second one. What skill that you currently do not possess would you most like to master?
Oh, I'd have to say I would love to be like a singer or have some sort of musical talent. I have absolutely none.
You sing in your shower, right?
I sing in the shower, you know, if I get wasted at karaoke or something.
And somehow it sounds really good, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I think I'm Celine Dion.
Yeah, you're like, I'm going to sing. So at least you do karaoke, and you probably sing in your car, too. You have any...
Yeah, well, I'm in New York, so we don't have real...
Sing in the subway. Nobody's going to bat an eye. Who's one of your favorite artists right now singing musical?
Who's my favorite artist
right
now?
Yeah, who's one of your favorite artists right now?
Oh, I'm into a lot of people right now. But actually, I would have to say Carly Sonnenclair, that was just on The Voice or whatever a while ago. I've been into her lately.
Yeah. Oh, nice. I like it. Okay. On this third question, we call this the fantasy name, although it's called by other names when other people play it, but we keep it clean here. And the fantasy name is going to be the name of your very first pet and the name of the street that you grew up on. Put those two together. And what is your fantasy name, Thomas?
That would be Friday Horseshoe.
And what kind of occupation would Friday Horseshoe have?
probably like a pole dancer or something. Or
yeah.
Or something.
The Friday definitely part, that's got some dancer there. Oh, I love it. Well, Friday Horseshoe, it has been just a joy speaking with you today. So we want to make sure everybody knows, whether you're checking on his events, check out his blog, shop, you know, on his website, or you're interested in readings yourself, because you can find out how much he is. There's also testimonials on there, so you can really read what other people, you know, have experienced. And that's at mediumthomas.com. Thank you, Thomas. I greatly appreciate the time you spent with us today.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.